Well, good morning again. Our sermon text for this morning will be the gospel reading, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to do my best to do it kind of expository, a little bit verse by verse, explaining it as we go. But I think that a verse from our epistle sums up the theme for the whole morning quite well, even the sermon. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Our gospel reading for this morning starts with a bit of a scandal. It's a scandal that if we've been familiar with the Gospels at all in our lives, we should be a little bit familiar with as well. Begins this way. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. And I think you probably know what's next. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Not only does he receive them, not only does he come into their presence, not only does he mingle around these sinners and tax collectors, but he breaks bread with them. And here is the scandal. Again, it's the same scandal that we always get from the Pharisees and the scribes. The wrong people, always the wrong people, seem to be flocking to Jesus. Tax collectors. These are the people that are traitors to the Jews. They're cheats. They're men who sold out their own people, their neighbors, to side with Rome. And sinners. That one probably needs not much explanation. The kind of folks that every religious leader on the planet likes to write off as hopeless cases, not really worthy of their time. And what does Jesus do in this scenario? He does what he always seems to do to the outsiders, to the tax collectors, to the sinners. He welcomes them. He sits down at a table with them and he breaks bread with them. He eats with them as though they belong to him, as though he and they are family. And the Pharisees, what do? They hate it. They grumble because in their view, holiness means to be separated from people like these, to not approach people like these, to be left on the outside of people like these. Purity means staying away from sinners. They're appalled that Jesus would receive the unclean. Isn't he a rabbi? Isn't he trying to teach us the ways of the Lord? Why would he teach us to come around to eat with people like this? But if we think about it, we tax collectors and sinners, their accusation is the sweetest gospel that you'll ever hear. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. And that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what you need. You see, you and I have a Pharisee problem. We know who we are. We know where we are on Sunday morning. And deep down, we'd rather be recognized for our goodness than rescued for our sin. We grumble when grace is given too freely, especially to the people that we don't think deserve it. But Jesus, he's always got a different plan. He's always got something else up his sleeve. Jesus does not come for the deserving. Otherwise, he would not have come for you. He comes for sinners. He receives them, and thus he receives you. And then he tells them stories. That's all parables really are. They're just stories. They're always stories that are meant to sort of conflict, to confuse, and to confront. And this first story that we get in verses 3 through 7 does exactly that. It's just known as the parable of the lost sheep, even though it's a little less of a parable in that he says, "Who among you would?" So he says this, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In case you didn't realize it, and I think maybe you did, you are the sheep. You're not the shepherd in this scenario. You're the ones who wander, and sheep wander. Sheep stray. They get themselves into danger. Sheep are dumb, and they don't realize how good they have it under the shepherd's great protection. And here's the point. Sheep don't come back on their own. They don't find their way home. They don't find the shepherd as though he is the one who is lost and decide to recommit their lives to him. Left alone, sheep do one thing really well. They die. But the shepherd doesn't just sit back and wait. He goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop searching until the sheep is back in his care. And when he finds it, he doesn't scold it. He doesn't drive it home with an angry whip. He lifts it onto his shoulders and he carries it back into the fold. And then he rejoices. This, of course, is Jesus. This is what he does for you. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. The Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of all of your sin, Isaiah 53. On the cross, he carried the full weight of your sin. He bore it gladly for the joy set before him. And you, of course, are the sheep, helpless, strained, lost. You can't carry yourself. You can't come home on your own. Christ is the shepherd. He seeks, he finds, he carries, he rejoices. He bears you on his shoulders all the way home. And heaven itself throws a party. Not when you manage to clean yourself up. Not when you rack up a record of righteousness. Heaven rejoices when Christ finds you and when grace does the rescuing. And if that didn't get the point across for the grumbling scribes and Pharisees, he tells yet one more story that we'll go over in verse 8 and 9. He says this, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.'" Now, if we think that sheep showed us our helplessness, the coin takes it to absolute hyperbole. A lost coin doesn't wander. It doesn't cry out. It doesn't try to find its way back. It just lies there, lifeless and lost, useless without the owner, until someone finds it and picks it up. And that's what the scriptures say about you in your sin. Ephesians 2 tells us, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Not sick, not weak, dead. But the woman won't give up. She lights a lamp. She sweeps the house and searches diligently until she finds it. That's Christ. We call him, the scriptures call him, the light of the world, shining into to every dark corner to find what? Why does he need to be a light? To find you. Bringing you home, giving you life and meaning, making you of value again, making you his own. Again, pretty obvious, you are the coin, dead, unresponsive, unable to move an inch toward God, and Christ is the seeker. He shines his light into your darkness. He sweeps until he has you, and he finds you, and he rejoices. And then we get our final verse, verse 10. Jesus comes back at it again. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus repeats himself for the purpose of driving the point home. Heaven's joy is not in 99 who think they're righteous. Heaven's joy is not in human progress or achievement, or even, as a Christian, your progressive sanctification. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. And let us remember here that your repentance is not your great work. It's not the one thing you have left to do that's going to finally impress the shepherd. It's being found. It's being turned around by the shepherd, carried home by his strength. It's being found like the lost coin and placed in the safe pocket of the Lord until he takes you home with him. And when that happens, when that miracle comes upon you, when it falls upon you through word or word and sacrament, the angels rejoice not in what you've done, but in what Christ has done for you. Your self-righteousness doesn't impress heaven. Heaven sings because Christ has saved you. The angels celebrate because the shepherd has brought you home. You are the lost sheep. You are the dead coin. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't find your way back. You can't raise yourself up. You're helpless, wandering, lost. Christ is your good shepherd. Christ is your seeker. He goes after you. He carries you. He rejoices over you. And all of heaven rejoices with him. As we close this up, I'd like to think about this. We need to set ourselves rightly, to think about who we are appropriately. You are not the 99. You're not the 9 coins still safe. You are the one who was lost and had to be found. You need to cling to Christ. He comes to you in word and sacrament, seeking you, forgiving you, feeding you, and carrying you. And then we join the celebration. The church is heaven's joy echoing on earth. Every single Sunday, sinners are found. Christ feeds us. And heaven's party breaks out again. The Pharisee sneered, we remembered. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. But all of you who are beloved in Christ Jesus, that is not an insult to you. That is the gospel of Christ Jesus. That is the whole of the good news that is Christianity. Because it says this, yes, he receives sinners. That means he receives you. Yes, he eats with them. That means he comes to you this day, to this altar, to eat with you, to give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. He doesn't wait for you to clean yourself up first. He comes right into your mess and brings his mercy with him. He doesn't ask you to prove your worthiness. He gives you his worthiness in exchange for your sin. He doesn't demand that you climb up to him. He descends to you in preaching and in the bread and wine of the sacrament. This is not a meal of judgment. This is a feast of grace in Christ Jesus. It is here that the shepherd takes the lost sheep onto his shoulder and carries it home. This is here where he takes you, his lost sheep, onto his shoulders and carries you home. It is here that the father embraces his prodigal child and calls for the feast to begin. It is here where he puts you, his prodigal son and daughter, at the head of the table of the feast. And when he does, all of heaven rejoices. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen.